So we're going to be in 1 Peter today. And this is strange because Rady was teaching on inheritance, and that's what this passage is about. So it's kind of cool. And I picked this passage weeks ago. I was going to start in 1 Peter because whenever Bill's not here and we have to teach, I'm just going to follow a book and go all along. That way there I know where I'm at and I don't have to try to think of something. I just go in there and read what's it about. Right? Yeah, so 1 Peter is pretty encouraging. It's a New Testament written by Peter, and it says it was written to the early Christians, but it's actually written to the Jews. It was written to the Jews of Asia Minor, and its core message instructs believers to how to stand firm and maintain hope in the face of suffering, anchoring their identity in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The author, obviously, is Peter, and he also had a co-worker, Silanus. And the Jews were living in exile across five provinces of Roman provinces in the modern-day Turkey. The date of the writing is 62 AD to 64. And it was written from Rome, which Peter called Babylon. And then the primary purpose was to offer pastoral encouragement, urging believers to live holy in lives and endure unjust persecution by focusing on their internal inheritance. And that sounds like today, actually. There's some people out there that that's happening to. The key themes was hope and suffering. Unjust suffering is framed as a test of faith that ultimately brings glory to God and purifies the believer. Peter promises that future vindication awaits those who stay in the truth and in the faith. New identity. Peter uses the Old Testament language originally reserved for Israel and applies it to the large Gentile Christians. He reminds them that the primary citizenship is in heaven and making them residents of heaven. So that's kind of cool. So as we get into it, 1 Peter 1, to those elect of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father in the sanctification of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy. He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last day, in the last time. In this you rejoice, though not for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perceives through the tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, in glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's a lot. But it's pretty cool. Peter identifies himself as an apostle at the beginning of Jesus Christ. Can you walk up to somebody and tell them that you're a Christian? It wouldn't be hard, right? But back then it would have been hard for him. But right now what we do is we'll get on and text people that we're a Christian. But do we really go to them and tell them? We'll say it on the emails or we'll say it in this area. But if you're not confronted, you know, with somebody face to face, if I get down and talk to Dave face to face, that's one thing. But if I get on the internet or my text him, you know, or it's just, it's not the same. So are we what we really are truly in front of them? Because it isn't our words, it's our actions. Okay? Our actions and our mannerisms play a huge part in someone receiving the word. Just remember that. But here, Peter is putting it into writing, so it's a little easier that way. He's putting it in a letter and a book to us to read, and God is allowing that. God put that in there too. God, he's the author of all of this. To those elected exiles of dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, there are Jews living in exiles across those five Roman provinces. And according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and the sanctification of the Spirit, the obedience in Jesus Christ for sprinkling his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. I didn't catch this before, but that's the Trinity. You ever think about that? There's the Trinity, the salvation. It's the whole work right there. Because you got God the Father in the sanctification, the Spirit, and the obedience of Jesus Christ, sprinkling his blood. There it is. I didn't catch that before. Isn't it cool how you slow down and read something, and then it goes, wow, I never saw that. But that's really cool. So I wanted to point that out. And then, blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed. In Hebrew, I'm going to try not to butcher that, is, and you're putting that up, the Barak, or is it Baruch? Baruch. I asked Dave this morning to help me pronounce this, and then I still mess it up. But the common word for, it's the most common word for blessed, derived from the root word Barak. Yeah. It literally means to kneel, to show profound respect, right? When God is blessed. And Bill talked about this during a Wednesday night, and it was, it was about 6 weeks ago, I want to say. He talked about blessed, what it meant. And he can go, you should go there and listen to it. It's really amazing. But we, right here, God is, we're blessed to be with the Father and God and Lord Jesus. And Peter brings by praising God for his abundance mercy, which allows believers to be born again into a spiritual life. We're allowed because of what he did on the cross. And you know, I don't care who you are. We all are people that have problems right now. And we all need him, right? And we were talking about this not too long ago. I think we were doing it in the podcast. But there's sickness out there. There's disease. There's cancers. There's injury. There's loss of a loved one, betrayal by another person in your family or a friend. There's financial stress. There's money issues. There's, you name it, health, family, jobs, struggles. We face, everybody's facing those. We're facing them. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. You're going to face these things. The key is that when you have Christ, those things are diminished quite a bit because you don't carry them if you do it right. You lay it at the cross, right? But, I mean, it's not that when you become a believer, all those things go away. They're still there. It's just we have a way of dealing with them now that God gives us a way to deal with those problems. Are they uncomfortable? Yes. Are they still painful? Yes. Are they still gut-wrenching? Yes, they can be. But when you have Christ, we have a certain joy that you get with him that can soften those blows. They do. They soften your blows. They help you. I know that we've gone through a lot of things lately and in the past and stuff, and I can always look back and go, wow, God was there. God was there. And without him, I don't know if I could have made it through that. Probably would have, but not without pain, you know, hurt and everything. But sometimes that hurt goes away. It's like, I don't know, it's like when you eat hot sauce and you drink a cup of milk, it calms it down. It's probably not the same, but, you know, I think you guys are getting my point. The hope that we have, though, is anchored in Jesus. You know, it's in his resurrection. You know, unlike worldly hopes that are often based on wishes. You know, I don't want to wish for it to go away. I want it to go away. And God's there for that. A good example is we were struggling with our business, laid it at the cross, left it there, and once we did that, it was like it wasn't there. It's like I didn't have to worry about it anymore. It's done. I laid it there, I'm done. And that's the easiest thing and the hardest thing to do. And once we did that, it was like no problem after that. Didn't ever have to think about it again. We go to verse 4. It says, to an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you. Inheritance in Hebrew is nakala. Is that how we said it? Yep. Which means, pardon? Someone said that better. No? Oh, he did? He can say it again. Unlikely earthly wealth, it cannot be destroyed or corrupted or lose its value and is guarded by God's power. It means possession, property, or inheritance. Imperishable, unending. The term imperishable refers to that which is not subject to clay, corruption, or destruction. Everything in our current world is marred or stained by the results of sin, and we especially. In contrast, the heavenly inheritance exists in absolutely purity. Unfading means something eternal, incorrupt, and completely untouched by the decay of time or sin. Kept in heaven for you. So I ask God, myself, what for me in heaven? What did he keep? You know, what is it you're keeping? Imperishable, undefiled, unfading inheritance in heaven for believers, which is eternal salvation. That's what he's holding. So everybody has that. Believe it, in the world, everybody. You see, a person that's totally not saved, he still has that eternal salvation saved in heaven for him. The problem is we don't accept it. You have to accept that gift. Just like when Jesus, we have to accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Well, that heaven has already had that inheritance saved for us in heaven. That's just one part, is accepting it. We have to accept that. He's already done that part. He's been ready for us to do that. He's been ready for us to accept that. It's up to us to receive that into our hearts. You know, I know sometimes we talk about a check. A check's written and we give it to you, and until you cash it, you don't get it, you know. It's so easy. And, we had a funeral yesterday, and I was trying to explain that in a very short period of time, that you don't have to change anything in your life to accept that. All you have to do is accept it. You can't go take a shower and then say, okay, now I'm clean. You can't go get clean to go in the shower to get clean. You know, Jesus says just to come to him. That's it. He doesn't say, okay, before you come to me, I want you to go, get on your knees, forgive everybody that's offended you, do this, give up all the drinking, give up all this, don't be like this. He just says, come to me, and I'll accept you where you're at. Doesn't mean you're not going to want to change, but that's where you need to be. You want to change. Okay, so verse 5 says, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. It's tied to a divine gift that is not earned, but rather received through a covenant of relationship. That's why we want you to have a true relationship. That's what we're always talking about here. We want you to get in the Word, read the Word, get into a Bible study, have fellowship, get to know who Jesus really, truly is. Honesty with him in our own lives and salvation is just a future destination, but a daily transformation marked by peace, purposeful living, and a spiritual growth. We want you to have that. We want you to have a great walk with Christ, not just I know him. You got to know him. Not know of him, but know him. Here are some key verses detailing how salvation looks in a very everyday life. A renewed mind and a transformed behavior. Daily salvation challenges how you think, act, and breaking old negative habits. Okay, Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the renewing of your mind is being like Christ. We got to be like Christ. And if you pray about that, he will help you. It's very simple. Ephesians 4:22-24 says, to put off your old self and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And verse 2, inner peace and freedom from anxiety to me. Right? Salvation brings a supernatural peace that guards your emotions during stressful times. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds." That's huge. I have a hard time not being anxious. I get going and I'm told to slow down. We have these, you know, we watch movies and stuff, and we always have these things that we catch out of these movies. And one is from the Raiders, is it the Raiders of the Lost Ark? The Holy Grail, yeah, and Sean Connery's telling Junior to let it go, Junior, let it go, and he's trying to reach down in this crevice, and he's going to fall down in there, and that's our saying is, you know, sometimes I'm told by my family is, let it go, Dennis, let it go, and it helps me, but I get going too fast. I speed, go through everything fast, but you got to slow it down. Don't be anxious about anything. And then living out, and it's probably, we can go probably deeper into that. That's just the surface part of it. Daily salvation empowers you to serve him and to fulfill a specific purpose. We're living out good works and purpose. There's a reason every one of us are born, and God has given us each one a special purpose. You need to find that purpose. It's helpful. Sometimes it takes us a while to find that purpose, but it's there. Everyone, he's blessed you with that. It's a blessing to have that. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." And that backs it up, what I was just saying. You have a specific purpose. And he's prepared that in advance for us. A saved life naturally produces positive character traits that impact your relationships, because now you're looking through at people differently. You know, you're not looking at them in a worldly vision. You're looking at them in a godly way, that we love everybody, that we want no one to perish, not one. Galatians 5:22-23 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Those are huge. And gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. Yeah. Strength to overcome hardship. Salvation provides a residual joy and strength even during daily trials. 1 Peter 1:6. "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Peter is trying to encourage them not to give up into these various trials that they're having and endure. Peter acknowledges that believers will face various trials in the present, but notes that they're only for a little while. Most of our trials, if you look back, you go, well, that was quick. You know, during it seems like it takes forever. And now I can look back and go, well, I don't remember that too long landing. Did it really go that long? But sometimes, you know, it could be going years and we don't even realize it. But now it looks back and it goes, that wasn't that bad. You know, I don't know. That's me, how I look at it. You guys might look different. That's why I love James 1:2-4 about trials. And it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfast, and steadfast have it full effects, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Various trials, they show me where I'm weak, where I need to see how I am and how I don't line up with Christ, where I need to make a change. So most of us learn about ourselves through that adversity, that when we face adversity, that's when we start to see how we truly handle things. That's a tough pill for us to swallow. We believe that we walk with God so perfectly. I'm walking good. This is a good week. I'm having a great time. You know, everything's great. And then boom, something happens, right? That's what happens with me. I'm doing really good, and then the trials come, and then reality sets in, and the trial reveals where I am, where I'm weak. Where God is saying, you know, here's a situation where you need to be aware of, that you might need to make a change. With me lately, it's slow down. Sometimes I go too fast. I'm thinking 3-4 steps down the road. I'm working on a wood project, and I'm thinking about, what do I need to do with the HOA? Did I do this? Does Greg need help? Do I need to go over there and see him? Oh, the license plates on my Nissan need to be fixed. I tore it, or on the trailer, and I need to fix that. When should I go to town to pick up numbers for those signs I was going to make? I'm doing all these things in my head, and I'm like, shh, and I'm cutting a piece of wood. I'm surprised I got a hand left, you know, because, oh, shoot, that was a mistake. But no, I get all done. I'm doing all this, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I got to go do the podcast with Dave and Bill, and I forgot about that. Oh, shoot, I better run over there. Oh, what am I doing? Wow, why is this piece 6 inches shorter than it's supposed to be? And, you know, and that's just a simple thing, you know. I mean, that's not really a trial in a sense. But then I get down here, and I start listening to Dave and Bill and myself, and we're all sitting here talking about how we're so busy. We're, you know, and oh, my gosh, if you listen to Bill, what he does, he's got a lot going on. Heidi can approve to that. He's telling me he's gardening, and he is doing so many things. I can't even name all the stuff he's doing. I start getting sweaty, you know. And then Dave, he's telling me he's got a lot going on and stuff, and I leave, and I'm going, wow, Lord, they got a lot going on. I'm going to pray for them. They're not like me. I got it all together. Yeah. Yeah, that doesn't work out very well. So I have to take a look at myself, and I drive home, and I park in the parking, and, you know, I pull up to the driveway, and I'm just sitting there thinking about all that, going, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. I think I'm just like them. I'm doing the same thing. I'm running through all over the place, and I need to slow down. I got everything going on, you know, and then someone comes up to me and says, hey, can you do something else? Oh, yeah, sure. And then I get revealed by some people that I know that make sure that they let me know, you got too much going on, and the two ladies over here are laughing, but that's what happens. We get going too fast, and then I wonder why God doesn't hear me. It isn't that God isn't hearing me, I'm not hearing him. And that's what we need to do. We need to take a look at that and say, what is he saying to me? And you know, the beautiful thing about it is God doesn't yell at us. He should, to me. And it hit me with a 2x4 or something, but to get my attention. But he doesn't yell at us. I remember my mom, she used to yell at me. You know, Dad used to yell at me. I've had other people yell at me, but God doesn't yell at us. He just talks softly to us. And if you ever stop, that's why I love be still and know that I am God. I love that. Because I'm sitting in my driveway after a little bit, and I just sat there and I started thinking and listening to him. And you can hear that still small voice say, slow down. Listen to me. You know, and sometimes we just need that. We need to stop trying to do everything. And sometimes I always try to fix everything. And sometimes God says, I got this. I don't need your help. I'm God. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I can fix it here. No, you can't. Sometimes we can't fix something. We have to let that go. And that's the hardest thing. And that's where you lay it on the altar. Just slip it in there and leave it. Don't do like I do. I usually go pick it back up and say, well, I think I got the answer for that now. I think I can fix this. And God says, no, you need to leave it on the altar. I've got this. And sometimes we need those trials to show us where we need to stop doing what we're doing. And those trials are good. And to me, they are like, it says in here, faith like gold. He compares the testing of our faith to gold like being refined by fire. Just as it burns away the impurities of gold, trials burn away our spiritual impurities to reveal a genuine tested faith. You know, that makes so much sense. So verse 7 says, so the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold. That is huge. More precious than gold. Wow. Then one day we look back and we see the fingerprints of God. He's been working with us, you know, over our lives, his mercy, his grace, his guidance, and his power, all on display as he walks, as we walk through each trial, he's with us. You know, I was looking on Facebook today, and there's a lady making a shirt, and she takes the guy's footprint, the dad, and puts it on the shirt, and then she takes the kid's footprint and puts it inside that. And that was really cute. And it just thought of me, that's how God is. Our footprint is small to his. And he is the one taking care of us. It's his footprint that matters. Mine doesn't mean anything. Right? So we need to look back at that. And Proverbs 4:13 says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. And verse 8 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. You do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice that with joy that it is inexpressible and filled with glory. So, if we don't see him, how does he talk to me? Right? Through the word, through fellowship, through prayer, being still, listening to that still small voice. You know, it was so cool yesterday because, you know, Rady had... He was talking about the same thing. He was talking about inheritance. And that was so cool to hear him talk. And I just sat there and listened to it. And he said inheritance is mentioned 237 times in the Bible. That's crazy. That's crazy. And our inheritance is so important. And that's why it's so important to accept Jesus Christ. And that's why I still go back to that small, still small voice. It is so important for me. I've always loved this verse, 46:10, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations and exalted in the earth. It's huge. Do I hear his voice? I do when I listen. I can feel it. You can almost sense it. And I know a lot of people are shaking their heads. Sometimes I hear it through others. I heard it through Rady yesterday. I heard it through Dave today. You hear it through everybody. 1 Peter 5 says, casting your care upon him, for he cares for you. There's so many verses in the Bible that talk to us and tell us what he's saying. John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus says, when I am the light, he is declaring his divine identity. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. No one will come to the Father except through him. This is where it all happens. Once we put our faith in him as our Redeemer and Savior, his light will shine upon us. And we can follow him easily. You can listen to him. He'll talk to you. Our desires will be followed in him and our life. There's no more messing around with the darkness. You want to separate that. We won't be perfect. We're going to still stumble. We're still going to make the wrong choices. But if we really want to learn, and we will, his light will become strong in you. I accepted Jesus Christ in 1980, and I'm still messing up. I know some of you people going, wow, he's that old? Let it go. Let it go, Junior. No. But remember that joy comes in the morning, so we must hold on to hope, which is found in Jesus. In the morning when you get up, it's a new day. Start again. Refreshed. Joy. Yeah, and that's another thing about joy. The world doesn't understand what joy is. People could be happy because they got a paycheck, and then the next day they'll be sad because it's gone. You know, so joy is always with us. Once you accept Jesus Christ, you always have that joy inside you. You know, that nothing can ever take it away. Pam, one time, she came to the shop, and Jenny was working for us, our daughter, and she wrote a thing, don't let anybody steal your joy. And she put it on the calendar, and everybody in the shop that walked by there to see that, they would tease her about that after that. And she hid it under, and then I thought she threw it away. She put it underneath her calendar. So she kept it. So that was cool, yeah. But remember, joy, we have the joy in our heart because we have Jesus Christ. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "In the joy of the Lord, that is our strength. So continue to lean on and trust on Him." Communicate with Him daily, expressing in prayer the concerns we may have. Don't carry the weight of the world. Leave it at His feet. That's what joy brings us. Remember, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. He promises throughout His word. So just keep your eyes focused on Him. And that is all I have for you guys today. It's going to let you go early. You can go down and eat with us and take time. But just remember, get in the word. Get in His word today. Don't let it go. And don't be like me where I get so busy I don't get time. I told Pam the other day, I don't like to hear that. And I used to tell the shop, don't ever come up to me and tell me you don't have time. Because you do have the time, you just don't have the desire. You know, I told guys that used to show up late, it's not that you can't make it here, it's that you don't want to make it here on time. So just remember that. We have the time, we just got to fill it in the right spot. And let the Lord lead. So as the praise team comes up, bow with me. Dear Lord, I just want to say thank You for the inheritance that You have done for us that's imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. And You keep it for us, Lord. You did that before we were even born. Lord, I'm just so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for my life that I have You in it, Lord. You are the key. I am thankful for my families, for my friends. Lord, I'm thankful for Your word that I get to read and understand who You are. And I just pray that we would walk closer with You every day as we go through this week. Lord, may we just see You in everything we do. And may we see people who are struggling. May we just open up our hearts to them, and may they see us, not in the words we say, but in our actions, that we love You. And just praise You and give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.